Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
Joy News. Joy News. Joy News.
Protesters have disrupted a City of Monash council meeting in opposition to an upcoming drag storytime hour to be held at a council facility in Oakley. The Age reports protesters shouted abuse at councillors and the meeting was temporarily suspended at least once. Police were called due to the much larger than usual crowd gathered, but no arrests were made.
Joy. Now, Dean, there has been some big news that has come out overnight about some protesters that showed up to a council meeting last night, and this touches home for our community specifically.
Yes, it does. So, as we heard in the news report, I mean, I know we're starting our day light and fun and joyful, it's breakfast, but many in our communities who haven't seen the article from The Age about the council meeting in Monash last night would be waking up to that news and feeling a lot of frustration and a lot of concern, because suddenly we're in the media again in a really specific tone, in a really specific way.
Yes, yeah, so basically what has happened is a council meeting was held last night, where obviously one of the agendas must have been about an upcoming drag story time.
Yes.
And a group of protesters who apparently have a Facebook page where they post things for the LGBTQIA plus community that are coming up, and they say, let's show up and protest it, showed up and made a scene.
Yeah, they did. Calling out the members of the council. We also have members of our communities there with flags showing support for our communities. And unfortunately, the police were called. It was a whole lot going on. And this was in complaint to... We've been seeing news about drag story time and issues in regards to it happening all around Australia. So it's not just an isolated thing to Victoria. And Sam Thompson, the wonderful drag performer, who is doing this 1 hour of children's entertainment and has done before, is one of the people who's been targeted a little bit through this. And that's something that I know a little bit about.
Yes. Now, as Frock, have you experienced this yourself?
So I have. Many of you know my queer alter ego, Frock Hudson, and I've been doing children's entertainment for many, many years, along with a diverse array of other styles of entertainment and performing that I do both in and out of drag. And we're seeing a particular narrative going on in regard to this. We're seeing a particular tone that's going on, and I've been a target of it very specifically since November, December last year. And it's something that continues to roll on, where there's online harassment that occurs and email harassment. And what I'm discovering a lot of late, because unlike many other drag performers that we all know, I live my life very publicly in a broad sense.
Yes.
So I often, a simple Google search.
Well, you are the busiest homosexual in Melbourne.
But a simple Google search can counteract a lot of the misinformation that's going out. So what I'm finding is that images of me and misinformation about me are being used and shared constantly and not connecting back to me. So it can feed this false narrative to individuals that are misinformed and want to put a negative spin on something really lovely and wonderful.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So I was reading the article myself this morning, and so not only are they attacking the drag performers themselves, they're also attacking council members and people who work at the venues, calling them pedophiles and stuff for supporting such an event. But the thing that gives me joy is that the council have stood up and said, we won't stand for this because we want inclusive spaces. And I actually took a photo of the computer screen, because there's a quote from one of the council members, I believe they said they were. And it said, we're not there to engage in a fight. We want to show the council that the community this was from one of the counter-protesters, so one of the community supporters,
members that were there,
saying, yes, we're not there to engage in a fight. We want to show the council that the community has their back on this important work. We want to know that we have the level of government that is closest to the community by our side and supporting us.
Which is absolutely brilliant and is absolutely wonderful. That is great. Not every council and not every space has done that or is able to. And as someone who, in the article that you're seeing in The Age, it lists a whole lot of different events, some that have happened, some that are not. A couple of them are actually events that I was meant to be doing, and they've had to shift gears a little bit. I was going to be doing these events over Idahobbit in the next coming weeks, and they've had to make the tough decision to shift gears a little bit. And that's because these businesses and organisations are getting a level of harassment that they've never received before. This is a narrative that's absolutely spurred on by the Americas, and is tactics and things that are being picked up over here. I think it is absolutely wonderful that they're continuing forward. I would like to put a little bit of a call out that kindness is the key in regard to this. Kindness is the way to go, because as queer people, this is not a surprise to us. This is not a new experience for us. This is our lived experience in many different ways and shapes. And people are often shocked and surprised how much we expect this. It's not a new thing. When I'm in drag and I'm heading to an event for children, I'm prepared for whatever might come at me. But I just ask that everyone have a little bit of kindness in regard to spaces that may not be as equipped or be ready for the level of harassment that's been happening, because it's great that that's going on ahead, but just because perhaps a drag story time isn't going ahead doesn't mean they're still not creating inclusive and safe spaces for our communities to all be seen and welcome. It just means one element might not be there.
Absolutely. That was said very beautifully. Joy. We have just been having a little bit of a chat about what happened last night at the Monash Council meeting, where some protesters showed up to try and poo-poo on drag story time.
Yes.
And we got a really beautiful message in from Andy saying, "Good morning, Rach and Dean. I feel sorry for these negative protesters. They're just not educated in these matters, but together we will thrive at this fantabulous time."
Absolutely. Thank you. That's absolutely right, Andy. It's through our stories, through sharing them, and through coming together that we can make sure that we make a change. And one of the ways we can also do that is to make sure we're counted in the national census.
Yes, because to know that the LGBTQIA plus community exists, there has to be data.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be touching on that very soon. Joy. Now, Dean, we have been talking about the census and getting changes to the data collected for the LGBTI community, as well as the protest that happened at the Monash City Council
last night.
Last night.
Yeah. Look, if people who were listening earlier on in the show would know that I'm also a drag performer, children's entertainer, do a lot of things, and I'm a part of this entire narrative. And actually, some of the events that I was going to be doing over Idahobbit and not happening anymore because of the harassment that some of the libraries and councils and spaces have been receiving from these people who have been protesting.
Yeah, and you've gotten a really great message through, though, from someone who was at the protest.
An absolutely lovely message. This message is from Amanda, just messaged us through our Joy Breakfast Instagram saying, "Hi, I'm driving to work and just want to let you know, I hope you're not typing while you're driving. I was at the Monash meeting. I attended at about another matter, not knowing that this was actually on the agenda. And it was quite confronting when the protesters kicked off. I'm not part of the LGBTQIA plus communities, but as you know, I'm a strong ally. I'll say that I was nervous about the council's response, as they've previously been known to be quite conservative, but they went above and beyond. They're so strong and really supportive. I can't imagine how these things make certain people feel, as my son and I were quite sad driving home, knowing there are people that just hate for the sake of hating."
Yeah. And there's really only one way to respond, and that's with kindness.
Absolutely. Shay's also messaged in on our Facebook page saying, "Loved what I said about our community's holding a safe space. To all of those out there fighting the good fight, keep safe and keep up your amazing work." It's really important in this narrative. I think the fighting the good fight is absolutely right, but I get worried about using the word fight, because ever since the incident that happened on the Parliament steps just a month or so ago here, there's been a level of aggression that exists in our spaces and places. And sometimes people think they need to meet that level of anger and frustration in order to combat it. I want to switch that narrative. I think it's really important, because all that does is adds to the same level of voices shouting in a room and doesn't really help to change the conversation. We've been talking off air about how the best way we think we can kill it is with kindness, and sharing our stories is one of the ways that we're doing that.
Exactly right. It's education, and education starts with us.
And we all have it, whether you're connected to someone who's a part of our communities, whether you are a member of it. I'm going to be honest, I haven't really talked publicly about this before today and the experiences that I've been getting over the past 4 or 5 months, because I didn't want to add my voice to the noise and also make myself a part of the conversation. So this is why, but I'm in a privileged space. I love being here, a part of Joy. We're here in the mornings with all of you. So we've got a reason to do it. But also we're very lucky that we have spaces like here at Joy to elevate our voices and to elevate the diversity that comes with that.
Exactly right. So go out and support the community and spread the kindness, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
And part of that in a really massive way can be getting in touch with these organisations and spaces or councils, whether they've said, we can't do this, but we're going to do something else, and just lend them your support, because the kind of harassment that we get all the time, they've been getting, and that's a little new to them.
Yeah, exactly right. Joy. So adding this into our conversation earlier on the protest that happened and drag story time and the conversations around our community and spreading kindness instead of the hate.
Yeah, we thought we'd add a little something extra onto the podcast that's off air.
Yeah, so as we're a breakfast show, we try not to get too heavy on air, but we want to help you step into your day, and sometimes there's a space for shifting gears in the conversation, and that's why we're adding this to the podcast. So, Dean, why are you coming out and speaking about this publicly now?
Okay, well, as I said on air, like, I've been experiencing this for many years in different ways, shapes and forms, being a drag performer that does shows for children, and it's certainly leveled up. This year, in fact, earlier this year, during my Midsummer Festival show that was here at the Pride Centre, it was specifically targeted. You know, this narrative that exists about drag is for adults, drag is not for children, this narrative that is very specific, that has come from the UK and the US with very specific wording and very specific ideology and communication, has absolutely bled its way here into Australia. And it's something that's being targeted by many performers and many people. When this happened to me in January, like, it was really stressful. It was a lot. I found out about it when VicPol actually got in contact with me to let me know that my show had actually been put in group chats and been targeted with dangerous imagery and how I'm a danger to children.
So did people show up to your show?
What happened? There is a story there. There's even a video that exists. I've never watched it. But so what actually happened during it was pretty stressful and was pretty crazy. And we coordinated with the Pride Centre to figure out what we were going to do and how. They obviously still wanted to make sure the show was going ahead. This was a ticketed children's event. It was Frog Hudson's Frog Hudson's Storytime Sing-Along. It was a rainbow thing. Like, basically, the premise of the show was, I'd done this before, it was a combination of improvisation and story time and doing things. And I was going to make the story with kids. I decked out the room in the Pride Centre with lots of different props and ideas. I had a playlist filled with children's songs, some mimed, some singing live. And I actually then went, okay, cool. Where I have a rough guide and 25 different directions this story can go in, and the minute children start adding their input, that 25 can become 125. So with the children and parents that are there, we're going to create a story together and go on a journey as a group. So it was a very but first, when the targeting was happening, it was very specific in the narrative, which it was rainbow story hour, reading to children is wrong, what makes you think you should read a book. It's really interesting to see how many people fitted a narrative of why this was wrong and didn't even look at the description of the event to show it's not even what you're saying. But we came up with a great plan with the great team here at the Pride Centre, did such a good job. We worked together to come up with a good plan to make sure everyone was okay, and we were handling the situation in a great and positive way. But it's a ticketed event, so anyone was able to buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. On the day, a parent actually showed up who had worked with children before and asked if they could. They looked like a biker, so I thought maybe there was, you know, I shouldn't make prejudgments, but I thought maybe they were a person having a problem with things. And they were actually here, and they had contacted the Pride Centre and went, can I just, are you okay with me standing out the front just in case anyone causes any trouble? Community is key in regard to this. Mm. You know, I think the narrative that exists, and I was hit up by a lot of community members online because they were seeing what was going on. It got shared in personal groups, and it got shared, like, we've got to help, and people wanted to walk, we want to walk the families through, and we want to create a rainbow barrier. And I respectfully asked for none of that to occur. because this is a children's event. And what we needed to do was work with the organisation and business where the event was being held. And if we felt that was like something that we wanted or needed to do to create a barrier of protection, we would absolutely put the call out amidst volunteers and people. But it was really important, since it's a kids event, to have a working with children's check. Everyone's passion is one thing, but sometimes that can be a little bit misplaced. You know, it really, it's great seeing all this positivity, but just because you want to do something doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing for everyone involved. And I'm going to admit, it was an incredibly stressful thing. It went through for quite a few weeks. It stressed me to such a degree, I actually cancelled one of my other midsummer shows. You know me, always doing multiple ones. Because even though we were almost ready to put it all together, I just couldn't handle the stress of it all. It was a really stressful time. And the show went off without a hitch. It was great. Oh, well, actually, there was one hitch. On the day, we did have a couple of people pop up saying, we don't think this is okay. And they were just politely told to move along.
Great.
And they did. Everyone bought their tickets, had their tickets, came on in. And as the show was going on, I noticed there was a woman. And she was sitting in the back, filming all of it, smiling and clapping along. But she didn't have any child with her. This woman had walked in with a group of mothers, but was no longer sitting with a group of mothers. And basically, when I was singing a number, running up and down the aisle and clapping along with the kids who were having a wonderful time, I basically went, okay, if it's anyone, it's going to be her. If anyone's going to cause a problem, it's going to be this person, because they're sitting alone, but they were smiling and filming and having a wonderful time, or at least acting that way. The thing about what people want to do with... they want to cause drama. They want to cause problems. They want to agitate a situation. And this is what this individual tried to do. 50 minutes into a 60-minute show.
Right.
50 minutes in, they raised their hand and asked if they could ask a question, which was a really odd thing of a completely interactive show. All during the, like at one point, a child insisted that I have a dinner of vegetarian meatballs. So, I finishing a song and then made my vegetarian meatballs, not with broccoli because they didn't like broccoli. And it was a very interactive show. So when even the parents were engaging. So suddenly when someone puts up their hand and goes, can I ask a question? I was like, yep, sure, because there's no reason not to allow her to do that. But I was also like, okay, now comes the moment. The irony that we were at the end of the show. They picked that moment, which was very strange. And they went, do you think this is appropriate for kids? And I just looked around and I have a very specific approach with this kind of stuff. I answer the question that's given to me.
Yes.
You know, I don't create a broader narrative. And I'd actually done a very smart thing. I forgot to touch on this. I had organized another drag performer, Patty Shu, to come and be a part of the performance with me. And they were happy to do that. And I'll be honest, like basically took any profits I was making for the show and gave that towards them, which is not a stress for me because it was not about money at the end of the day. But having another wonderful performer that understands the nuances of performing and being a part of it, and I've done children's shows with them before, was really important to me. So if for some reason I got turned to one side by a person doing something or something occurred, they would help me get it back on track. And when this person asked the question, I just looked around and I'd just done a song where the kids were up and dancing and we were all having a good time. And I went, well, obviously, yes. And then what started to go on with the next part of the show, which was the closing part of it. And then they said something, which was, I just think drag is an adult. And that's all I know. Because every parent in the room just went, no, bye, get out. No, we don't need to hear this. One mother looked like she was passing her child to another mother, her infant child, and was like, I'll sort this out. And the team from the Pride Center were there and just politely asked that person to leave. Now, I couldn't hear any of it because the actual communication from all the families there blocked it. And I just started clapping so that the kids weren't focusing on the fact that there might be a bit of noise going on.
Yeah.
This entire altercation took 40 seconds,
yeah,
maybe 60 at the most. It's a blink of an eye. This person decided to try and create a video about it. And in that video, you can hear them calling me a groomer and things like that. And for me, and I just want to point out, it didn't affect the show in any way, shape or form. We were at the end of the show where we had a rainbow tree filled with rainbow wigs and all of the kids were given a wig that they could take home. And we sung and danced to an ABBA medley together with the parents up and dancing and having a great time as well. It was a brilliant way to end the show.
Yeah.
But it's just a really funny thing where they think disruption is the point that they want to bring.
Yeah.
Disruption is what's important. And they don't realize that to do that, like, and I hesitate to say this, you've got to do it well if you really want to disrupt something. Just making some noise or citing some rhetoric that you see online doesn't make it true. And in this scenario, I thanked this person for purchasing a ticket to the show because they actually gave money to it. It's a really odd thing when they want to create a narrative like something is not okay when it's a ticketed event. Not all children's events are, but a ticketed event, you have working with children's texts. We all know what's going on. Parents know what they're doing. And this is a big thing about this. Sorry, I'm rambling, I think. I'm rambling on.
I do think, though, that in the case of the Monash City Council meeting and stuff, I've lost my point.
Well, the one for Sam Thompson, this wasn't a ticket event. This is a free event. And ones that I'm, and actually the City of Bundoora cancelling their event, that was the one that I was going to be doing as well. Disruption is what they're trying to do, and that's what they tried to do at this council meeting.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not about the narrative. It's about disrupting the narrative. You should see the number of emails I get calling me a paedophile and asking me what gives me the right to read to children. Do you know why? Because I'm paid to. Mm. I'm hired as an entertainer to read to a child. I have a working with children's check because this is something that I do as a job. I don't come into your job and tell you how to do accounting. I assume that you are trained accordingly on how to do it or whatever it is that your job may be. And the big problem I have is this narrative that is existing, like we are possibly trying to groom children. We are possibly trying to do things to hide something about it. There are tons of children entertainers that wear costumes. Drag is that for me. But also, the problem with the narrative is it's also very misogynistic. They're making the narrative only about men in dresses. Drag is a diverse and subject art form.
Absolutely.
There are many cis women who perform in drag. There are trans people that perform as drag. And when they try to make this narrative about drag being men being pedophiles, I reckon it all comes back down to the issue that they have with trans people and the issue that they have with trans people in bathrooms. In that conversation, we're not talking about trans men. We're talking about trans women. It's always about men forcing violence. It's a very specific tool that they're using. And yay for the council for what they're doing and saying, you know what, we're still going to do this event and it's going to be completely fine. But not everyone's been able to do that.
Mm.
And that is unfortunate. Like, I actually got a call from, I've had a couple of Idle Hobbit events be cancelled and I've gotten calls in regard to it. And they're just having chats with me and going, okay, we're really sorry. And I feel bad that they're so apologetic to me about this.
I don't know if cancelling the event is the answer though, because then you're giving in to exactly what they want. They want these events cancelled because they're saying it's not appropriate for children. So let's just cancel it so it doesn't happen.
Well, I appreciate and understand where that comes from. And believe me, many other drag performers have been very frustrated about this because, you know, it is their livelihood. It is what's going on. But there's a reality that we need to look at as well, which is all about things being a safe space.
Yeah.
The level and the narrative that is existing right now, this is not like previous years where people have complained about drag story time. I've been at events where parents have shown up and said, I don't agree with this going on. And I've been in drag and go, well, you're welcome to come in as long as you're not being disruptive. You're welcome to come in and be a part of it. They're a part of the conversation. They may not agree with it, but they also don't understand it.
Mm.
And this is where the avenue gives it. What's happening here is a very specific targeting and striking and harassment that is going on. But when that occurs, like the narrative of, well, just not putting it on isn't the same way, implies that the only thing these spaces are doing is a drag story time. They're still doing story time with inclusive books in spaces and places, still putting up rainbow flags, still channeling the right message, but they're also being really honest and turning around and going, these people are creating a narrative of what's being safe.
Yeah.
And I think that's
all that we're hearing is that the people who are opposing it are winning because the only thing that gets said is, well, it's been cancelled
rather than
it being hosted by a drag queen, it's hosted by someone else in the queer community.
And it's inclusive. This is the problem
time.
With the medium of media that we've got currently. This is one of the reasons why I love that we're a part of Joy and the way in which we're talking about this morning on the show. This is not a black and white situation. Like I was saying earlier in the show, meeting the same level of anger and vitriol that they are doing is not the way to combat this. At least that's how I feel about it. Other people can have their own expression. But the thing of, if you cancel it, they win. Remember what these events are about. It's not about It's about children. It's about creating a safe and inclusive space for children. And these people have made this this event unsafe.
Yes.
We have events where people, where someone has said they're from Vic Roads and they're going to get the details of
all the people who
are attending.
Yes.
There are death threats going on. There are abusive things going on. So what I think is a better way of doing is changing the narrative to go, which I think the Age article is doing very well, to highlight, it's the first time I'm really seeing it as well, to highlight the fact that it's not, this. These are the two sides of an argument. Actually, these people are creating an unsafe environment and these people are the issue. And it's really about us changing that gear of the conversation, because they are. And I can't stress this enough, for me, especially with the conversations and interactions I'm having, they didn't want to cancel.
Yeah.
It's not what anyone wanted to do. No one is okay with it, but it's about, you need to also realize that they have, the level of vitriol and harassment that, I'll be honest, I get all of the time, is something that I'm used to. Does it affect me? Absolutely. But I'm used to it at this point now.
Yeah.
It's like...
Which
it's
not, you shouldn't have to be.
Shouldn't have to. But that's also something that as queer people, we experience all the time. We are used to it. We step into a scenario 9 out of 10 times, assuming it's not going to go well for us and being surprised that it does. This is our lived experience. When I performed the kids' show at Moomba, which I also did with Patty Shu, do you think we weren't thinking about, will there be police there? Will there be protection? We were stepping into it with this rhetoric that's going on. We performed a 40-minute kids show for hundreds, maybe thousands of families. I've got absolutely no idea. And it was great and wonderful, and it was on Channel 9 News. And then once it was on the news, oh, this is disgusting. I was in a dinosaur onesie. Why is it a disgusting thing? It's... I like that the conversation is shifting now and we're talking about the fact that they are the problem. They are the ones endangering children. For an example of the woman that came to my show, that is a person who filmed children without a parent's permission
exactly.
in a show and then put that in a video for a narrative that they wanted to put into the world.
Yeah.
I don't post pictures of myself with children at events unless it's the back of their heads.
Yeah.
Because I don't have, or only when I've got the parent's permission.
Yeah.
Because it's not my place. It's not my thing to do. It's not what you should be doing. So let's start shifting the conversation. Be angry, but remember, anger doesn't win at the end of the day, and we have to rise above it in a certain way. It doesn't mean the conversation has to end, but instead of harassing councils and having a go on social media and writing a lot of things, write a letter, talk to them, phone your local member, have a conversation, have some communication and provide some support. Because for many
people... Is that advice for the people who are opposing it or for it? Because For us. Okay.
Our communities, for people that are going, it's not, I understand, like you were saying, sorry, I may have, how you were saying, but just cancelling it isn't the way, but be a part of the conversation instead of another voice with them, but that is just shouting at them about
something. Yeah, no, I think people should offer their support and say, what is it that we as a community can do to help show support in this area? I know people get initial instincts of being angry, but I don't think that we have the same anger-fueled hate that the people who are opposing it have.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And so it's just important to reiterate that for our community, the positivity that we need to give out is about offering support rather than just counter-arguing what people are against.
Because what they're doing is just shouting and screaming in a room. Standing up, being proud, sharing your story. These are the visibilities that exist and matter and create much more widespread change.
Yeah, and they're offer just, alternatives.
Exactly. They're just creating a rhetoric. So it is really important that we do it in a little bit of a different gear.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Dean. That was a great chat about how we move on forward, keep moving forward after all of this drag story time. And
look, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. And that's a reality. We're in a really... And also I would say, if you want to reach out to performers that you know, if you want to reach out to them because you know they're being targeted, do that with a gentle approach. People reaching out to me who have barely ever spoken to me going, I just saw this about you. Here's a post. Are you okay? This person doesn't know me, so it's a little bit of a gobsmacky thing to receive it. Just remember that they're receiving a lot of hate and pressure when drag performers bring so much joy to our communities in lots of different ways. Approach them with just as much kindness as you should approach everything.
Just do the typical sending love, thinking of you.
Bang.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.